Okay. The master, let me go back to a parable. Everybody understand, parable is not an actual historical fact, correct? A parable is a story that is used in Scripture to demonstrate a truth. Okay, so you didn't have this person or these three guys or whatever. It was a parable. Let's be clear, though, real quickly. Who did the money belong to after the landowner gave it to the three servants? Still belongs to the landowner. So in the parable, who would be the master? Who would be the one who went on a journey? That would be our Lord. He went on a journey, right? When he left the earth, he went to heaven. And that's where he is today. So this is a parable. This is a thing. It belongs to him anyway. It's his. By the way, I've known a lot of guys in my lifetime, a lot of successful businessmen who's accumulated lots of money. And they died. Guess who the money is? They don't have it anymore. It goes to someone else. So, but the money that we have, the possessions we have, it's all his anyway. But we want to hear these momentous words, famous words, well done, good and faithful servant. But who exactly will hear these words from Christ? Will every Christian, by the way, cast out in the outer darkness, that's not talking about eternity and hell or whatever, it's a parable. Will every Christian hear these words when we get to heaven? Or will it be only those who stay strong for God in their life? Those who seek, love him, obey him, serve him until the end. Will we be in those who obey the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Will it be those who know the Bible? Who exactly hear these words, well done job, good and faithful servant? It's the only passage in the Bible where we hear these words. The words came from Jesus himself in a parable. Jesus is talking the parable. Parable of the talents. In this passage, we alone discover who will hear these words one day. This is a passage we need to understand and obey. And so we look at the profound parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Again, Christ is he's the master. He's went on a long journey. When he died, and Jesus died on the cross, correct? And then he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, correct? So what day of the week would he have probably died? A lot of people say, well, he died on, no. Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. So Jesus had to be crucified on Wednesday. Buried, 6 o'clock Thursdays, one day, one night. Thursday, 6 o'clock to Friday, 2 days, two nights. Friday to Saturday night, 6 o'clock, 3 days and three nights. And he arose before the next morning because they went to this grave and he was already risen. So but he's gone on a long journey now. He was raised from the dead. He's back in heaven with the Father. Like the three servants, we don't know when the master will return, so we'll be ready at any time. He gives talents. A talent was worth a very large sum of money, about 20 years of income. What would it be today for us in dollars? Somewhere around $600,000 for one talent. The landowner, of course, is wealthy because he owned everything anyway. And trusting these three servants with huge amounts of money. The first one got $3 million, the second one got $1.2 million, the third one got $600,000. Let's be clear again. Who did the money really belong to? Whatever we have, guys and ladies, we got money in the bank, savings. We're only what? Stewards of that money. What we do with it, we're only stewards. Now, does it belong to the servants or still, it still belongs to the master, which is Christ himself. He's the master. So that's the truth we all need to grasp today. Everything we own, everything that God's given us, not just money, He's given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us all kinds of things. It belongs to Him. And how we use that for Him is what He's going to expect us to do right. So the master goes away, and he comes and returns. The first servant returns his money to him plus all the extra money he had made. In a parable, not necessarily speaking about, it's a parable. Now, is this a parable about money? Yes, it is. Basically, it's a parable about money. People say, well, the only time you're going to hear "well done, job, good and faithful servant" is if you treated God's money, if you treated God's money, not our money, if you treated it correctly. Not from going to church, not from doing this or doing that, but from the way you treated what He gave us. Now, is it about money? Yes. It includes money, but money reveals our heart. So it's really about our heart. But the talents refer to everything God's given us, not just our money, but everything we have. God's entrusted good things to each one of us. He gives us some years on this earth. He's given me 70. I had a daughter He only gave 17 to. So everything, all the years I've been on this earth, He gave it to me. It wasn't because I stayed in good health or because I didn't have whatever. He gives us all our time we have each day. 24 hours, that's from Him. He gives us our gifts and abilities. He gives us our personality, our intelligence. He gives us our body, our home, our retirement. He gives us everything. Everything's His. He's talking about, Jesus, the Master's talking about all our resources. All of these things come from God, and they still belong to Him. This is what the Bible calls stewardship. He's looking for stewardship. We are stewards, folks. Everything we are, everything we have, all the money we have, we're only stewards. That's not ours. We only to use it for Him. God has entrusted that to us. He's entrusted us with these resources for us to use, not to hoard, not to hide away. He expects us to ultimately use these resources for His kingdom and not for ourselves. All of us are clear on the biblical perspective. We own nothing. God owns it all. We're only stewards. We're managers, not owners. Because this is what happens. Scripture says this. Naked we came into the world. And guess what happens when we go out of the world? Same thing. It all belongs to Him. So everything that we have, everything that God has entrusted to us, money, talents, abilities, whatever, it belongs to Him. And we're to use it for Him. He expects us to use it for Him. Each servant received different gifts. Well, okay. One got 5, one got 2, one got 1. Each of us in this room have received different and various gifts, correct? Some people in this room have a lot of money. Some people don't have much money. Some people have ability to sing. Not the lady right to you. That's the one who has ability to sing. Has ability to sing. Some has ability to preach. Dale has a tremendous ability to preach the word. Some people have ability to do this, do that. Not all of us do. So He gives us different and various talents to use for Him. And he wants us to use that for Him. He gives different gifts. We may not like the combination of the gifts He's given us, ability, skills, intelligence, body, money, more. But we did not make that ourselves. God is a potter. We are the clay. God is God. We are not. Everything we have is what God gave us. There comes a danger with this. There's a danger with this. The danger is what we call comparison. Ever been there? If we compare what God has given us with what God has given somebody else, ever done that? What happens? Not good things. It's not good. It's not good, right? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. When Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Father, they were both legitimate offerings. But what did God do? He accepted one and rejected the other. So what did Cain do? Cain gets all upset. Well, you accepted his and you didn't accept mine. So what does he ultimately do? He kills his brother over that. That's what comparison would do for us. If we're not careful. Comparison is not a good thing. And so therefore, the answer to that question is, what should we do with what God gives us? Be okay with it and say, Lord, you gave me this. You gave somebody else that. I mean, like you guys, Keith, you're out there looking at me and you're going, Lord, you gave him great looks. What happened to me? Same thing with you, Stacy. But anyway. Comparison is death. It's lethal. We cannot actually should compare what we have with what someone else has. God decides that. It's not us. And so that's what God has given. We're so impressed with people who are great actors, who are great NFL quarterbacks. But maybe God's not so impressed with those people. Maybe God is impressed with other things. Remember in Scripture where it says the woman gave one little mite? And what did God say about her? She gave more than all the rest. I remember I was sitting in a seminary class and Chuck Swindoll was teaching. And he said, we talked about what kind of people think that when we go to heaven, I'll have all these rewards and other people won't. He says, no. He says, my reward's here on the earth. And people look at him and go, what? He said, when I walk into a room, they want me to sit in the front. They want me to get the best things. They want me to have this, want me to have that. But the little lady or the man who gives everything they have and they're never recognized for anything, the Lord says, their reward is greater than mine. See, so you don't know. Don't know what your reward will be. And so they were given talents. Now, interestingly, the first one was given five. Second one was given two. Third one was given one. We don't see where they compared. However, it can be probably interpreted that the one who was given one thought, well, God don't love me as much as he loves him. You know, that kind of deal. So maybe that was the enticement for him to go hide that talent. He buries his talent. He did not use the master's talent. He didn't go out and make money for the master. And when he came back, he could present it to him. By the way, what do we call that when we present what we've done for him? Where does that occur at? The judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Because what do? Everything we've done for him, he rewards us for that, correct, in heaven. And so this one guy didn't have much. John Orberg, anybody ever heard of him? I read him a lot. Anybody know, ever heard that name? Writer? Yeah, okay. He said, sometime after my grandmother died, my grandfather called my mother and had an unusual offer. He said, Katie, I was going through some of Florence's things in the attic when I came across a box of old dishes that she had hidden all these years. I'm trying to get rid of them, but I notice they're blue, and you love blue, so your favorite color. Why don't you take a look at them if you want them? They're yours. Otherwise, I give them to the Salvation Army. The mother went out through the attic expecting to find some run-of-the-mill dinnerware, but when she opened the box, she was looking at some of the most explicit, some of the most expensive china she's ever seen, worth millions of dollars. And she went, why was this lady hiding all this great stuff? See, that's the thing about life is. So if we don't use it for the Lord, we don't know what we could do with it. So if you got something you can use for the Lord, to me too, use it. You never know what God can do with it. You know, a lot of great evangelists. Who is it? D.L. Moody, great preacher. He went to a church service one night. How many people were there? 13. He came to the Lord. That changed the whole world. See, you never know what you do can change the whole world. And so, don't hide what God has given you. I'm not talking about just money, but I'm talking about your gifts, your abilities, your talents, so you can do things. Don't say, well, the Lord, I'm just going to hide them, and I don't know what the thing is. Use them for God. See, what's the message here Jesus is saying? You had one guy had five talents. He doubled it. Master came back and said, well done, job. Next guy had two. He doubled it. Come back and said, third one is, guy had one talent. The master came back. He didn't have anything. He had buried it. And the Lord says, you're slothful and you're lazy. See, folks, we have a tendency sometimes to be lazy with what God has given us. But God has given us money, resources. God has given us talents and abilities. He's given us what we have because he has a purpose in those. And we should never go hide them because there's no telling. You may say something one day. You may sing something one time that changes the world. And you just don't know what God can do with it. And so that's the thing about the talents. And so you have that. Back to the parable. Finally, the master comes home. One day we shall see our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see him. And God will hold us accountable. I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about rewards only. Because we're never judged or we're never condemned for our sin, correct? Because the sin's been paid for by Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says, there is no condemnation in those in Christ. I'm glad of that. I had no preacher one time tell me, he says, now all those sins you did, and that's when I was a young guy, all those sins you did, Lord's going to put it on a board. He's going to ask you about each one of them. I was sitting there going, please. He's wrong. Because we had a bad theology done, real bad. But we will be accountable for what reward we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. And what do we do with those rewards anyway? We get them and we give them right back to him. Correct? Now that's love. Isn't that love? Let's say you're a guy and you go out and you make a bunch of money and you come home. What do you do with that money? You give it for your wife and your kids to enjoy because you love them. Whatever you made, you give it to them. Reward. That's what we're going to do with Jesus. When we get our rewards, we'll give it right back to him. He's worthy. Revelation said he's the only worthy one. So the guys brought back accordingly to what God had given them. And then we come to the third guy who buried his talent. Why did the third guy bury his talents? Where the first two invested their talents. Not just money, but anything they had. Was it about the third servant that causes him to bury his talent? The answer is probably our worst enemy, one of our worst enemies, is fear. He was fearful. And what would he be fearful of? He'd be fearful that, well, if I go out here and I try to make money, I'm not like John and Paul over there. I might lose it. I'm just going to bury it. See, fear will keep us doing a lot of things for the Lord. Don't let fear stand in your way for doing things for Christ. Don't let it stand in your way. One of the biggest fears, and folks, this is for everybody in the room, forgiveness is an amazing thing in our lives, correct? Forgiveness. And we can forgive other people, and we forgive this, forgive that. But who's the hardest one to forgive? Ourselves. We've got to forgive ourselves. And so if there's something some of us has done, I know a lot of preachers today that preach behind the pulpit, and probably you guys do too, that's done some things they shouldn't have done. And I've known some of them say, well, I'm out of ministry. I'm not going to ever do that again. How can the Lord know? Forgive himself and go on and do that. What if Paul, we all know Paul, correct? What if he would have thought, well, I killed a bunch of Christians. I was this and that. And what if he had stayed there and said, no? What did Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ and high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Dr. Ryer at Dallas Seminary used to say, if you do something you shouldn't be doing, go to that person and say, please, go to God first. Okay, go to God first and ask God to forgive you. Then go to that person and say, please forgive me. Ask forgiveness. And then you got to forgive yourself. And that's the hardest one to forgive. So fear. Why was he afraid of the master? And the first two weren't. Because he was afraid of the master because of the way he looks at who God is. It's the wrong perspective of who God is. Because the right perspective is, I can fail, and God still loves me. I can just keep going. See, that's the right perspective of who our Lord is. Don't be fearful that whatever you try to do, you might fail at it, or you might not be what you think you ought to be. God will still love us, and he'll still take care of us. This servant didn't think God would, so he buried it. See, to be afraid of failing is the way we look at the perspective of who God is. He does not see God as third person. As a loving, kind, and gracious God, as a man, as a sort of man who can be trusted. He thinks he was hard, harsh, and unfair. So he buried his talent. He don't believe his master's good. He sees him a hard man, a harsh man. Sort of man takes advantage of others, reaping what he does not sow and gathering what he does not plant. He doesn't trust him. Women's Bible Church, anybody sitting here, got to always trust in God and believe he is loving, he's kind. If we don't believe that, it's going to be hard for us to live for him because we're all going to fail sometimes. Whatever it is. I'm not talking about sin necessarily. I'm not talking about we were kind of disappointed. Some of the greatest preachers I ever heard preach. They'd get through with the message, and I thought it was great. And Paul, they'd say, I did the worst I've ever done. I don't need to preach for a while. I'm going, God can use that. We got to trust that God is a good and loving kind, that we will not live for him. We don't need to hoard what we have away from him. We don't need to hide our resources away from him. We don't need to hide our talents away from him. We don't need to hide our gifts away from him. He didn't give everybody the gift. He didn't give everybody the gift of singing. I can't sing about whatever. If anybody's ever stood beside me when I'm singing, they go, what is that sound? But he didn't give me that gift. But that's not going to stop me from singing. And so we can't just bury our talents in the ground. We got to use them for him. Because you never know what the result may be. See, if you bury your talent, you bury your gifts, you bury your abilities in the ground, you don't know what could have been done if you didn't do that. I was saying a while ago, you may not have the greatest gift of teaching, preaching, singing, whatever, but you do it with all your heart. And you may touch the guy or the lady beside you, and they go, God, they love the Lord. And they get saved. They may change the whole world. But if you hit it and you didn't, because you wasn't good at that, they'd never known it. So what comes in our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Don't think that, you know, don't believe a lie that God's mad at you because of some past sin or failure or whatever. Don't believe the lie that you don't know enough or that you're not good enough. Don't believe that. Don't believe that he's a hard master. You can't ever measure up to him. So what does people do? They just go away and they go, well, that church thing, I'm not going to do that anymore. Don't believe that stuff. That's not from the Lord. See, the final words of this passage are bracing words. They're almost too strong, but Jesus never shied away from speaking strong truth. He said, you wicked and slothful servant, called him that. The third servant represents the person who doesn't know the Lord at all. I'm not talking about salvation. We're not talking about a salvation experience here. We're talking about who doesn't know his love. See? Sometimes we need to be corrected on what we're doing, right? Lord needs to say, okay, Larry, you've been too lazy. You need to get up there and start doing this or that for me. And he will say that to us. But he's saying it out of love. It's not out of, hey, I'm harsh and I'm going to beat you over the head with it. He doesn't do that. That's not who he is. He's not a God that beats us over the head because of some mistake we made. See, the conversation depicted in this passage actually happened to us one way or the other. We alone, each of us alone, will be accountable for how we lived our life. Your spouse won't be accountable. Your parents won't be accountable. Your pastor won't be accountable. You'll be accountable for your own life and how you use what he gave you. It's not make-believe. And will we hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Will we hear those words? Only one time mentioned in Scripture. Primarily spoken about money, understand that. Because the reason is there is that if you want to know a person's heart, look at what they spend their money on. But it's not talking about just money. It's talking about anything that God has given us. We hear from the Master, Jesus, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Will we hear, you've been faithful over little, I'll set you over much. Will we hear, enter into the joy of your Master? See, this will be the basis of our evaluation. What will we do, church, with the gifts God has given us? What will we do with that? That's up to each one of us. See, there's a lot of times that we come across folks and they say, well, Larry, I just don't know the word like you do. I said, so what? I don't know what you do. You know, stuff. I said, but do what God has given you. You know, I know a lot of people probably think I'm kind of tall. I'm really not. But, you know, and they say, Larry, weren't you playing basketball? Well, I just don't. You're playing center on a basketball team. I don't know. But see, well, what I can do, I could go out there and play a little football now. And I did. And so, it's what God has given you. Look in yourself and say, Lord, and each one of us needs to do this. Lord, what has God, what gifts, what talents, what abilities has God entrusted to me to use for him? By the way, it's all his, remember? So anything that we have is supposed to be used for him. And so that's what we all need to look at. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same for some people as it is others because He gifted us according to his sovereignty, and he wants us to use those. And so, and never use comparisons. Well, you did that for him, and you didn't give me that gift, and so I'm not going to try it. No, don't use the comparisons. Use what he's given you, and use it for him. See, he's our God. He loves us. We asked everybody some questions. Then we'll be done. Dale told me to preach for 10 minutes, so have I went over 10? He said, Larry, I'm hungry. No. Okay. It's not my intro. Number one, folks, do we fundamentally see ourselves as an owner or a manager of what God owns? I mean, he owns it all. Do we say, well, it's mine and this is all my money. I want you. No. Who owns it all? He owns it all. So how should we look at anything that we have? As only a manager. Only for this time. Only God has given us. And why did he give some more than he gave others? What did he say? He said, much is given, much is expected. And so do we fundamentally see ourselves as an owner or a manager of what God owns? Does my life and everything in my life, number two, belong to God? Or is it just for me? Number three, ask ourselves, are we freely using what God has given me for this kingdom? Or do I hoard those things out of fear? Lady in the church I was at one time, she came to me and she says, Larry. I said, yeah. She says, I'm barely making it. I just don't have enough money to do this or do that. And she says, but I will not give God the first part of what I have. I said, okay. She said, I don't make much money, but he's going to get whatever you decide to come up in your heart, 10%, whatever. You know, like Jeff Wells used to say, 10% is a good place to start. Tithe is not mentioned in the New Testament anyway. And so, but 10% is God's heart. That's what he's done. That's the pattern he set throughout Scripture. And that's a good place to start. But she would give that. I don't care if the bills got paid, whatever happened. She would do that. And so she said, God has blessed me, and I need to use it for his work. Number four, church, do we look for ways to serve the Lord and advance his kingdom? Is there anything that maybe, you know, I heard a lot of things today that was opportunities for us to do. Do we go, maybe that's somewhere I could serve. Maybe that's somewhere I could do some things. God has given me that ability. Maybe I could do that. Maybe I'm a good greeter. Maybe I'm a good welcome person. Maybe I'm good this. And use those for him, because it's all his anyway. Do we have some regular ways we serve God? You know, something. Did I invest my money for the kingdom? At least some of it. Whatever God has purpose in your heart to give to him, be sure to give to him. Am I an active participant in the great adventure of God? Or am I a spectator up in the stands watching others do all the work and having all the fun? Has God given me some dream that I have shrunk back in fear because I'm afraid that God is hard to please? And why do we think God's hard to please sometimes? Because what we do, we compare ourselves to somebody else. Well, he's a great teacher. He's a great preacher. He's a great this. I can never be like him. Don't ever do that. What God has given you, use that for him. Whatever it is, use it for him. And then I want to ask a question to the church today. Are we all in for Jesus Christ? Are we all in? Everything we have, Paul says it, present yourselves by a sacrifice, correct? All of us. Are we all in? Can we think of things that we have that we can use for him? Correct? Anyway. But these three guys, one used it. When Christ came back, he was able to give him an increase. Another used it. Didn't have as much as the first guy. Again, don't get into comparisons. Because the second guy would have said, well, he gave me two. He gave that guy five. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to hoard these. Don't do that. Whatever he's given you, use that for him. Then the third guy says, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hide it because I don't know what. I'm fearful of him. God is a great God. He loves us no matter what we do. There's nothing in this world we can ever do that he won't love us. There's nothing. Never let the enemies of us. We got three enemies, correct? We got Satan. We got the world system. We got the flesh. Biggest enemy we have, flesh, right? Because the world system's not going to accomplish anything unless the flesh agrees to it. Satan's not going to accomplish any temptation unless the flesh agrees to it. If Jesus would have sinned in the wilderness, who could Jesus have only blamed? Not Satan for tempting him. Who could he have only blamed? Himself. I hear guys, and I've heard pastors before, says, well, I did this because, you know, Satan got a hold of my life. I said, don't give me that. Don't blame it on that. I did this because I got caught up in, you know, the culture, and, you know, I got caught up in the woodlands, and it's people live extravagantly, and I thought I need to live that way. I said, don't give me that. The world system didn't do it. I said, the reason you did it, because you wanted to. See? Anyway. But church, are we willing to give all out what God has given us? He hasn't given us all the same, but what he has given us, we're willing to give back to him what he's given us. See, I don't have the gift you have doing announcements, but I'll do an announcement now and then. I don't have the gift you have singing. I'll do that. I don't have the gift because I'll give whatever I have, whatever talents, abilities I have.